dwelling in the darkest depths of the mind, it's time for Mark D. Valenti and Brain Burrow.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Brain Burrow. I'm your host, Mark D. Valenti, and this is one of our Digging Deep sessions where we spend time digging deep with our guest. And today, I have the pleasure of introducing a colleague, Amelia Duncombe. How are you doing, Amelia?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I am fantastic. Well, as you know, we like to start the show off by asking the big question. Who is Amelia Duncombe?
Who am I? That is, it's like such a deep question. But to answer it lightly, I am an actress. I am a daughter. I am a wife. I am a friend. I am a dog mother. Those are just a few of the things. I'm an artist, I would say. And I'm a bit of an introvert. So I think a lot of, it's interesting that quite a few actors and actresses, they tend to be introverted and their escape is to become another character and explore different things through that character. So I definitely fit into that mold, I think.
Interesting. First of all, thank you for sharing that. We're definitely a lot of things to kind of address there.
Yeah.
So when you say you're an introvert, and you know, I know you, we obviously have worked together, talked. I get what you're saying about actors being introverted and using acting as being extroverted. But yet when I talk to you, you don't seem very introverted. So how do you explain that?
Because I've spent most of my life covering that, you know, like I would say I'm an extroverted introvert. So what I show to the world is this person that is really confident. I mean, don't get me wrong, I am confident. I am definitely confident, but I prefer to be solitary rather than around a big group of people. So that's how I sort of perceive the introvert and extrovert. Like, I need time away from people to recharge. And I tend to only ever want to be around people for about like an hour and then I'm like done. So, yeah.
Interesting. Okay. I mean, that makes sense. I mean, you're kind of balancing that extroversion and introversion necessarily with a job. When you caught yourself just now reassuring me that you are confident, what was that?
Oh,
about?
Yeah. I think, because, I definitely have struggled with confidence in my life. I would say that I'm confident in my ability as a human to do things. That's probably one of my, I don't call it a flaw because I don't think it's a flaw. It's like an idiosyncrasy of mine that like I believe that I can do anything. I've really learned in my years of living that's where my confidence really lies, is my ability to know that as a human I can do certain things. So
I mean, you know, just listening to you exude that sort of self-confidence. I mean, it's not a bad thing, right? I mean, it's, you know, confidence. I did the session on the psych coaching about confidence and the importance it has, but can you talk about a time when maybe you didn't do what you intended to do? You know, you say about being human and being able to do anything, and it's good to have that, right? It's part of what drives us. But talk about a time when maybe you didn't do what you intended to do, maybe a time when you failed at something.
Oh, I mean, I've had many of those moments. Where to begin? I'm just trying to think of a good example. I had a fashion label. I did that for about five and a half years, and it got to a point where instead of continuing on and trying to progress the business, I purposely sabotaged myself. So I would do things like, you know, when I had a really big order to fulfill, I would go out the night before and, you know, like have a wild time. I would say that I knew that I was able to do it, but I just couldn't bring myself to doing it, if that makes sense. Maybe I felt like that wasn't where I really wanted to be in life, so I tried everything that I could to fail. And I mean, I've gone to university. I studied for a year and a half, nearly two. I didn't want to finish that, so I purposely stopped studying, failed that. You know, like I have a very long track record of self-sabotaging. So,
Interesting.
which I've learned over the years to acknowledge that and know when I'm doing that and work on fixing that. So, yeah.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. I mean, and kind of sharing your vulnerability on here because, again, in talking to you, I know you're somebody who likes to help people, right? You guide them and you are this sort of beacon of confidence. So to hear you talk about your own vulnerabilities, I think is inspiring to be able to be self-reflective like that.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, so specifically when you talk about self-sabotaging, and you said you kind of learned to identify that, when do you find yourself doing that now? It sounds like that's been a it's been something that happened in the past, but now it rarely happens. Are there specific triggers that cause you to self-sabotage now?
When I think things potentially will not go the way that I want them to go. So, if I know that I'm not going to do, I guess it's a perfectionist thing as well that I sort of struggle with. Like, if I know that I'm not going to be great at something, or if I know that I'm not going to win at something, then I will not try at all. Even though, like, say, for example, okay, for university as an example, right? I knew that I wasn't going to get the top marks. I knew that I was probably just going to slide by and it wasn't going to be something that I was successful in. So I purposely stopped trying at all. So I could basically say, well, I didn't try, you know, so I can't have failed that badly. What if I had tried? So now I, instead of, and it's so funny because my dad has been calling me out on this my whole life, right? This is something that he's always, you know, I've always coaxed. I've always, I guess, sailed through just on my ability as a human and as my, I guess, like just my ingrained intelligence. I don't know. It's just sort of something that I have very intelligent parents and they brought me up really well. And so I guess I just skated by just on that, you know. So I definitely, I've totally gone off on a tangent now. But so now if I see myself thinking that I'm not gonna, I get an audition and I don't think that I'm gonna get it, I won't necessarily send in the self-tape. You know what I mean? So now I push myself to send in the self-tape, even though I don't think I'm going to get the role. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So that's how I catch myself. So I force myself to do the things that I know that I wouldn't say like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, you know?
Yeah. Well, you've chosen such an interesting field, especially
Yes.
given how much scrutiny there is
Right.
on meeting a certain expectation. And sometimes, as you know, you don't even know what those expectations are.
Right. Yep.
So, to me, when I hear you say this, I hear somebody who's very self-aware. Somebody who not only is self-aware at identifying their feelings and whenever they're struggling, but taking action, including pushing herself to a point. And it sounds like that's been an evolution for you.
Yes. Oh, definitely. It's been a really long evolution, you know. and I'm grateful for it as well. I'm really grateful for the mistakes that I've made. I there's only a few things in my life that I would ever change, and so I don't necessarily regret some of the really bad things that I did. I've never done anything to purposely hurt somebody, but I've definitely been a you know, like a wild child. And that goes in with the self-sabotage.
Yeah, I mean that's a great connection as to why, right? Self, you brought up the specific example where it impacted your ability to do something the next day, and it sounds like you purposely chose that.
Oh yeah, for sure. You know,
Right.
which I mean, to my mum's despair. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. And I want to spend one more moment talking about sort of your evolution, because sure. A lot of people out there listening to this, the feedback I've got so far about interviews has been, people see a lot of themselves in the people I'm interviewing, mm-hmm. right? And so yep. I'm sure a lot of people out there struggle with perfection paralysis, which is essentially, you know, they're not going to do something. They'd rather self-sabotage than be doing something that they fail at.
Yeah.
So what would you say to people that are listening or watching and saying, that's all well and good, you know, that Amelia's able to do that, but what about me? How do I get over this perfection paralysis that I have?
I mean, it's not easy. I think recognizing it to begin with is the, I guess it's, I'm not going to say cliche, but it's like the first step, right? You know?
Yeah, it's true.
But seeking out help for it as well, because it was very debilitating for me at one point in my life. So I ended up seeing a psychologist, and he really changed everything for me.
Wow.
You know, he had this analogy of because I also suffered from like really bad self confidence issues, like physicality wise, you know. So he would say to me, the first thing you have to do is act like you believe it, and then you'll start to feel like you believe it, and if you feel like you believe it, you will become it. So it's like a big cycle, and just continuously doing that and like taking the steps to actually seeing something through. You know, if you see something through, then you can go, okay, maybe I didn't win, but I accomplished something, you know, I actually did it. So
yeah.
I mean, that's, everyone's different though. You know, it
very
works
true.
For some people, and it's just something that they will never be able to get through, but that doesn't mean that they're not living the way that they can. You know what I mean? Like it's all relative.
Yeah, it is all relative. And fantastic job expressing autonomy, because everybody's autonomous and makes their own decision. Every life is different, right? What worked for you doesn't work for me, work for everybody else. So,
yeah.
But so basically what you're saying is, one, self-awareness, and I know you called it a cliche, but it is true. Self-awareness of yourself, right? I often envision the stormy seas around us, whether it's COVID or people on the street that take your parking spot or they got your order wrong somewhere.
Yeah.
Those are things beyond your control. That's the stormy seas. And we can't try to argue with the ocean.
No.
What we can do is control our own sails, our own steering wheel. And it sounds like that self-awareness and self-control is an important step.
Yeah, very much so. I definitely know that at times the self-control went a little bit too far. But that was just me trying to, you know, I guess, figure it all out.
Yeah, you know? So you brought it up. So talk more about that. What do you mean?
I mean, I'm a very, I wouldn't say I'm rigid, but I definitely like to have my day planned. You know, like I like to have, like I get up in the morning, I walk Winston, which is my dog. I walk Winston. I now am working out at a specific time. So I do that. I come home. I have something that I'm, you know, my husband and I are doing a little project together. So I'm working on that. And then this sounds like I'm really exercising quite a lot. And then I get on the treadmill. So, you know, and then I go to bed by 10. So that can seem like there's like a lot of control. Whereas, you know, and before I would get down to me controlling my eating and stuff like that. So like I said, it can tip a bit too far. So I just have to know where that line is and, you know, be able to enjoy life as well as having things that keep me going every day, you know?
Yeah. So how do you find that balance? It sounds like you're finding balance. You go too far, you go back. But how do you find that balance?
I think it really rests in probably levels of anxiety, you know, and being able to, I guess, sit back and say, to just like reflect on myself, like, how am I feeling right now? Is me controlling all this stuff, is that helping me or is it hurting me? You know, I don't particularly like to go out. I'm very much a homebody. I hate going to parties. I hate it. I like dread going to parties. So I used to drink a lot when I would get to the parties so I could, you know, have fun. So now I just like, I go there sober. I listen to people. And then I come home and I'm fine, you know, and then I don't have to see people for another couple months. But, but yeah, so it's like pushing myself to do the things that make me uncomfortable that aren't actually as scary as they seem at the time. Having that, putting that balance in my life by being around people, being, oh my God, I can't even remember, can't even think of the word. Like just like socializing, you know, that's such mm-hmm. a big part of human beings. We all have to socialize at some point. So, that's how I figure out my balance. Yeah, I think I really went off on a tangent then.
No, there's no tangent. It's really guest centered. So this is what we're talking about. So thank you for doing this. And for the record, anybody out there, Amelia revealed to me that this is her first podcast interview.
Yes, so, it is. So that's why I'm rambling so much.
You're doing great. And it's
thank you.
And yeah, I mean, again, this is we're digging deep here about you yeah. and like struggles and triumphs. And again, you're yeah. somebody in listening to you who's admitting that she's not perfect and struggles with perfection paralysis sometimes, but also yes. is able to reflect on that. And that's what
yeah,
makes you
totally.
Real.
Yeah, for right. sure. And I mean, everyone is imperfect. And that's
sure.
That is the beauty of the world, right? Like, I mean, you look at the most beautiful people, they don't have asymmetrical, like symmetrical faces. They have, you know, things that aren't necessarily what one person would call classically beautiful. You know, it's like
right.
the imperfections make people endearing and
yeah.
relatable and approachable. You know, that's something that I would always want to be, as approachable. I know a lot of, as people can think that with my confidence that I exude, it can be intimidating to some people. And I, you know, like that's the last thing that I want to be, is intimidating to people, but it can come out that way.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. And it sounds like you're not only aware of your own feelings and your own actions, but the awareness of other people as well and the way you interact with them. And it sounds like you're always trying to make people feel comfortable.
Yes.
Yeah. And not an imbalance to yourself, right? There's some people that are sort of self-deprecating and give everything to other people, but it sounds like you have a good balance there.
Yeah, totally. And that's, again, something that I've learned to deal with. When I was younger, people would just, you know, give me their soul and tell me these really horrible things. And that used to really weigh on my shoulders, and so I learned a way to be able to keep myself safe as well as being able to help people in my own way.
So you brought up another great example, right? And I've heard many people talk about the compassion fatigue, right? Which is really mm-hmm. about their own battery going down mm-hmm. And yet people still talk to them because you're listening, you're empathic. So
yeah.
how do you maintain that balance? How do you recharge your battery without getting it drained?
Right. I think the main key for me is knowing that people will always, they just need someone to listen to them, right? They need someone to hear them. They don't necessarily need someone to take all of their pain away. They just need someone to listen. And in listening, that makes it lighter for themselves. A lot of the time I used to think that they wanted me to help them. But people will do what they want to do, right? People will make the choices that they make on their own. They might have some help from other people, but they won't necessarily take your advice on and, you know, change their life instantly. You know, it's a process. So just learning that about people and knowing that just being able to let them be heard is has really helped me not take away from my own self and self-love.
Extremely well said. I know a lot of people that have lived their lives and still not reached that point, right? You're not trying to change the world. You're not trying to take on all their problems. You're actually just trying to give them what they need in that moment, which literally could just be listened to at that moment.
Yeah.
And so, well said.
Thank you.
So I want to ask you a question. I typically don't delve into sort of the work, you know, as being in the film industry, but it's relevant to our conversation here, right? Because, you know, how are you sort of adapting to, I know you were in a big role recently, of course, with a Freak movie.
Yes.
I'm wondering, how has that sort of impacted you and everything that, because you've done so well in sort of building yourself to where you are now, self-reflective, but this is a big thing. So I'm wondering, how have you adapted to this?
Well, I think because it hasn't been released yet, it's something that when it is released, then I will probably have to figure out what's going on and how to deal with that. But I definitely, it's something that is just, it's so exciting for me that, I don't even know how I'm going to be able to have that same feeling that I had when I was on set for Freak in my next productions. But I really probably couldn't answer that question, in regards to like the bigger picture of things, just because it hasn't been released, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah, that's a great introspection. You don't want to speculate on how you may feel. So I think that's very healthy to say it like that. So let's step back a second, though. So you're in the Delirium article that Bianca did with Debbie Rochon. You're featured in that, you know, your images are in there. You're on the poster as well.
Yeah.
So what did that feel like to you?
It was just super cool. You know, like, it's just like really exciting. I just want to be able to share that excitement that I had with everybody else, you know what I mean? So it's surreal seeing myself on a poster, but it kind of just felt natural. I don't know, it's a weird way to say it, like, because I felt so comfortable on set and I feel so comfortable in front of the camera, it's like it's something that it just feels right, you know, it just feels right.
Well said. So another question I'd like to ask on this program is, what gets you out of bed in the morning? What motivates you? What drives you?
It's through the pandemic, it's been a little tough. probably the donuts in the cupboard. My dog, funnily enough, gets me out of bed. And also just the end goal, you know, like the end goal of where I want to be in my life and what I need to do to get to that point. So like my husband just walked past.
That's okay.
the whole idea of me trying to make it in the film industry is basically so I can have a platform to do good things in the world. That's how I see it. You know, I really want to use my platform for good things. And I feel like there's a lot of people out there that have the ability to do that and then they're not. And so I just would love to be able to help propel some kind of movement in that sense. You know, there's walking around LA every day, it's like, there are so many homeless people. There are so many people that struggle with mental health issues and can't afford to help themselves or get help. You know, it's just, it's something that I'm very passionate about. So yeah, that's what gets me out of bed.
Interesting. So when you talked about the end goal, it sounds like the end goal is to help with the social justice, with helping people in who are sort of down on their luck, who've had experience with issues.
Right.
So the acting and everything you're doing now, although you like it, is almost a means to an end to increase your influence to help with these causes.
For sure, totally. Hmm. And I'm just lucky that I absolutely love acting as well. You know what I mean? So
sure.
That's definitely, I will never, ever, ever want to stop acting, or hopefully get into producing and directing and writing my own scripts and doing all that kind of stuff. But yeah, the end goal is to be in a position to really make a difference.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that, Amelia. It's there's a book called Essentialism, and it's really about the disciplined pursuit of less, which is really about, by Greg McGowan. It's really about identifying an end goal.
Yeah.
Everything you're doing is going toward that end goal, and you have to ask yourself, how does it meet that? And it sounds like you have a pretty good handle on that.
Yeah.
Great. So last question I have for you is, mm-hmm. at the end of this today, your very first podcast interview, what do you want people to walk, what do you want people to walk away with knowing about Amelia Duncombe?
Ooh, I didn't think you were going to ask me that question.
you know, I'm gonna ask.
what do I want people to know about me? That is such a, I mean, I just want people to, I am what I am, you know what I mean? That if people want to come into my life and meet me, then they'll get to know me, you know what I mean? So I don't necessarily want to put myself out there and say, I want people to know this about me. I want them to figure that out themselves.
Okay.
You know?
Sort of a choose your own adventure. People get to figure that out for themselves as
yeah,
opposed to you
yeah,
telling
I guess,
them about it.
I guess so. I just wouldn't want to put what I want people to see me as. You know,
okay.
I want them to have their own opinion, because people do, you know. So
they do. You are correct. Thank you. That was a great answer. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, and also I can't change people's opinions. If, you know, that's
very
something
well
that I shouldn't focus on. So, yeah.
It's almost like you have a career in behavioral science as well with everything you're saying today. So,
well,
excellent.
My mom was a social worker, so she's, yes.
Yeah, clearly instilled some of those thoughts in you. So
totally. The most emotionally mature woman I've ever met in my whole entire life. So
wow. That's great that she was able to influence you in that way.
Oh, totally. She's like she's the influence in my life. Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you for sharing that as well.
No, that's okay.
Yeah. So I know we are out of time, of course, today. And I want to thank you, Amelia, for our connection outside of here, but also just sort of connecting today and just sharing your thoughts and kind of digging a little bit deep there.
Thank you. And thank you for having me. This has been amazing. I'm so glad that I got to do this. I think it's really cool. Really cool.
Oh. Well, thank you very much for that. Okay, well, this is Mark DiValenti, and I want to thank anybody who's listening in or viewing this right now for supporting Brain Burrow, and want to thank Amelia, of course, and just hope everybody has an amazing rest of their day. This is Mark Valenti signing off.
You just dug deep with Mark D. Do you want more? Follow Mark on Instagram @ValentiHorror and subscribe to the Brain Burrow podcast.